Hey everyone, let's take a look at Luke chapter 13 today, verses 1 through 9. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." So remember, this is an incident that happened as Jesus is teaching on his way to Jerusalem. He set his face on Jerusalem. He set his face on the cross. And he's been teaching about discipleship, and in this context, he has just given an image or a parable of somebody who's in debt, and he says, listen, you need to settle with your creditor before you go before the judge, because if you don't settle before then, you're going to come into judgment. And this is, of course, a parable of final judgment. Jesus says, today is a day of opportunity when you can settle. There's coming a day when you won't be able to settle. And of course, all this has to do with the crisis, the decision that Jesus forces on everyone about himself, whether they will become his student, whether they will follow him, or whether they will go their own way. And so it's in this context that Jesus brings up this incident comes up. Some people there bring up something that happened where there were some people in the temple and Pilate killed them in the temple. Some have suggested that these people were actually zealots of some kind. In other words, they were people who believed that God's purposes were going to be accomplished in their day through violence, through either killing people who were compromisers or trying to drive out the Romans, and that Pilate violently put down this insurrection. Likewise, the other incident of the people on whom the Tower of Siloam fell, it is also thought that this was a group of zealots who thought that they could accomplish God's purposes with some kind of violence. And notice that perhaps the suggestion is, maybe they bring these people up because it's sort of deferring the question, right? Jesus has just said, you're going to have to make a decision about me. And Jesus and these people, they say, well, what about those people? At any rate, Jesus turns the tables back on them and says, well, you think they were really bad? No, they weren't that bad. And in fact, you guys are guilty of the same thing. And unless you change the way you think, you're going to perish in the same way. The word he uses there is it means similarly or in the same fashion. The point seems to be Jesus is not talking about the final judgment, but he's talking about how they're going to die. In other words, unless you give up your understandings of the way God is going to bring about his purposes, unless you give up your zealotry, you're going to perish in the same way. Jesus is here, I believe, predicting the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD by the Romans, when the Romans had finally had it with Jewish insurrection and with groups that were trying to kick the Romans out by violence. And they destroyed Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple. And so this opens up for Jesus and for Luke, the gospel writer, this broad theme of repentance, which is something that Luke talks about more than any of the other gospel writers. And it doesn't have to do so much with turning from individual sins, of course it does, but it has to do with the broader mentality of how we pursue the purposes of God. And here I would bring up Paul the Apostle, who was, as he says, guiltless. He was blameless regarding the law. He was incredibly zealous, yet he found himself actually persecuting God by persecuting the body of Christ, which were the followers of Jesus. He has his whole world turned upside down by realizing I have been thinking I was serving God, and actually I was doing harm to the purposes of God and persecuting Jesus himself. That's the kind of repentance we're talking about, a radical rewiring of the way we understand how God wants to work. Jesus then gives this very straightforward parable. It's one of the, to me, it's one of the neatest parables because it's so simple to understand. There's a man who has a vineyard. He plants a fig tree. It doesn't bear fruit. He tells the vine dresser, let's cut it down because it's not bearing fruit. And the vine dresser says, let me get involved with it and give it another year. I'll fertilize it. And then if it doesn't bear fruit, let's cut it down. Well, what's going on in this? Of course, Jesus gives this parable in this particular context. And he's saying to his audience in this parable, you, Israel, are the fig tree. God has planted you in his vineyard. He expects fruit, and you're not bearing the fruit. And so God's going to cut you down. But I, the Son of God, have come to plead with you, to get involved with you, to dig and to give fertilizer in the hopes that you will eventually bear fruit. But nonetheless, God demands fruit, and judgment is coming if you do not. Remember the parable in Mark and other Gospels when Jesus curses the fig tree. A similar sort of thing is going on. Israel is the fig tree, or the temple is the fig tree, and it's not producing the fruit God wants. It's not producing mercy. It's not producing care for the poor. It's not producing prayer for the nations. It's not producing leaders who are humble and serving in their approach to leadership. And so Jesus says it's going to be cut down. I think there's some important things going on here in this parable, namely this sort of dialogue between severity and grace. The vineyard owner demands fruit. That's why he has a vineyard. The gardener also says, but yes, we should look for fruit. That's why we have a vineyard, but let's give it more time. I think what this gives us a glimpse of is the dialogue in God, the concern in God for fruit, but also the question of, we want none to perish, let's give another shot, let's do everything we can. I think it speaks of God's desire for fruit, but I think it also speaks of God's absolute investment of his resources in seeing his people bear fruit. In fact, I would suggest that the whole image of the vine dresser getting personally involved with digging and manuring is a picture of Jesus. It's a picture of his incarnation. It's a picture of the extreme lengths to which he is willing to go, and the Father is willing to go, to see fruit born and to give grace so that fruit can be born. So in the context of Jesus coming to Jerusalem, it's a very important image of the heart of God, who desires that none should perish, who is incredibly merciful and patient, but who also will eventually say, we've given enough grace, we've given enough opportunity, it's time to cut that tree down. And so may we be a people of repentance. May we be a people who are constantly being taught through the Spirit by Jesus himself to follow him in his way, which is a way of considering others better than ourselves, considering ourselves in the place of servants, who are here to pour ourselves out for the sake of others and to give them another chance. May God grant us his Holy Spirit to be a people who are constantly walking in the way of repentance and constantly giving grace to others so that they can enter into that way. Amen.